Well, of course, the news and chatter from State of Origin 2 just won't quieten, with some big ins and outs likely for round 16 of the NRL this weekend. And New South Wales fans are still basking in what was a magnificent performance, 44 points to 12 on Sunday evening. And to talk all about it, Danny Weidler from Channel 9 joins us this morning. Good morning, Danny.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I'm just back from Perth. I spent the week there with the team, watched every training session, watched the game, and I can't say I was overly surprised at the result. I think that there was a real determination in that New South Wales team from the moment of their first session right until full time. I think the score did flatter New South Wales a little bit. I don't think they should be getting carried away with the victory by any stretch. I think that until half time, until the sin binning, that Queensland were very much in the game. But from that point on, the game changed in a big way. So I think that, yeah, while it was a really fantastic effort by the Blues, I think we have to be a little bit wary about celebrating too hard.
Let's talk about the coaching of Freddie Fittler. And I know when the team spoke to you, Danny, over there in Perth, you did have a legitimate question mark over both teams' preparations and how it would all unfold, with Freddie getting over there a little bit early and seemingly having a lot of time out there on the training field with some intense sessions, whereas Queensland only arriving on the Thursday. And I guess the result maybe vindicates Freddie in that regard. But I guess his wholesale changes, making seven, and that preparation seemed to be a masterstroke.
Well, Ryan, look, there was a lot of people really putting the boot into Brad Fittler after game one and into Greg Alexander as well. But they held their nerve. They did what they felt was right. They wanted the team to get over there early. They wanted to make those changes. And I think that on the changes front, I think it worked. I think it really worked. They probably got it a little bit wrong in the first game. I think that Brad Fittler's always picked with a bit of daring and a bit of form in mind, and maybe he didn't follow that same philosophy for the first time he picked a team. Maybe it was a little bit safe. This was a less safe team in a lot of ways. And I think it really worked. And in terms of getting over there, look, I know it sounds really dumb and it's only a two-hour time difference, but I do think that it takes a little bit of time to get used to that. And sometimes those smaller time differences can really, really muck you around. And Queensland decided to come over late on Thursday. And I think the New South Wales, by having the full week in Perth, really going through some really tough sessions. They put a lot of work in a short space of time. And they did good work too. I mean, Paul McGregor deserves credit as well for what he was doing. Someone else who, you know, people like to stick the boot into. He did a lot of the work with the Blues and the practical work, and Freddie oversaw it all, and it worked really well. And I mean, for those people who want to bag Freddie and say he can't coach and all this sort of thing, he's got a reasonably good State of Origin record, one that a lot of people would be pretty proud of. And I think that he deserves enormous credit for getting New South Wales to 1-1. The next challenge is huge, though.
The next challenge is massive, Danny. He has options, though, as well. And we've been talking this morning about the return of Latrell Mitchell. Does he make way for him in the 17?
Yeah. It's a great question, Berkey.
Yeah.
I do think that, look, you put your coach's hat on and you think, okay, let's see how they all pull up after this week. But you've got to see Latrell play and see how fit he is. He looks fit. And just see how he goes. But it's hard to ignore a player of Latrell Mitchell's ability, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you recall last year's series, but he bullied Queensland into defeat. The way that he absolutely put his physical presence on the game, not just through his natural ability, but through his attitude, was something to behold. Like, that was a really strong mental display. And whether Latrell's in the physical shape to be able to produce that again, well, I guess we're going to know in the next, you know, in the next few days and see how he goes this weekend. And I think he's right in the frame. I think he's, you know, right in the frame for selection. And it's hard to change a winning team, but probably Stephen Crichton getting beaten by Kalyn Ponga, that didn't help his chances a lot. So if there's someone who's probably vulnerable, it might be him. And you've also got Jack Whiten to get it back in there somewhere. So, you know, I do think that Matt Burton deserves to keep his spot. And I think that, you know, his kicking game adds something to New South Wales that, that the other team, that Queensland, don't really have. And I really think that Latrell is definitely on Brad Fittler's mind.
So if we hypothesise and say that even an 80% fit Latrell Mitchell will be there and Jack Whiten must come back in, I guess the squeeze, you mentioned Stephen Crichton, he may be the collateral damage, but then there's also one spot on the bench. Does maybe Talakai come out in that equation?
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because he added a good punch as well when he came. I didn't play a huge role, but he added punch and he brings danger. So, yeah, I think you're looking at, I mean, I don't have inside knowledge on who is most vulnerable, but from a from an outsider, from someone who, you know, just watches the game and reports on the game, they're two obvious guys who you probably think would have some concerns about. But you know, Freddie might just say, stuff you all, I'm sticking solid and I'm doing it my way. And he's entitled to do that as well. And I think you want more than an 80% fit Latrell, though. I think to go into Origin, you saw how brutal that those first two games were. I think you need him right up like 95 or 98 or whatever. You know what I mean? You need him close to absolute supreme fitness and confidence as well. Because coming back from a serious hamstring injury is not easy. And that requires a lot of mental strength as well to get back from that, and as well as to be able to trust your body and be able to stretch out when you need to stretch out and be able to, I don't know if he's going to do any sort of kicking at all. I wouldn't think so, but, you know, you just need to be able to trust everything you're doing. And that's, Freddie's going to have to watch that game really carefully.
You don't want to be vulnerable going into Origin. That's exactly right. Danny, a great acknowledgement for one of your colleagues, Ray Warren. The Media Centre is going to be named after him at the SFS for the enormous work. Must be a proud moment.
Yeah, look, everybody loves Rabs. And the memories that he's given us all as sports fans are fantastic. And he's respected throughout the media. And it's fitting that he will get that honour. And he deserves other honours as well, Rabs. I mean, like, whilst he hasn't officially retired and he's still going to be doing voiceover work with the Nine Network, you know, we're not going to hear him call games again. And I mean, you blokes would both have huge memories of Rabs and know him well, and
that's it.
Would love everything that he did. And it's a great honour for someone who achieved a lot in the sporting media.
At the West Tigers, there's a lot of interesting things happening there. They've really been in the news cycle constantly throughout this season, haven't they, Danny? Looks as though they have missed out on Cameron Seraldo. And I guess now the focus turns on Noddy, Brett Camorley, and whether he maybe could be, you know, the right fit for a role there.
Gents, yeah, look, first of all, the Seraldo situation, how embarrassing. I mean, this is a club who got rid of Michael Maguire, paid him, have to pay him out a considerable amount of money, and they publicly state that their number one target is Cameron Seraldo, because he's the man who's going to be great for the club, and he's the development coach, and all this sort of hoo-ha, and gets their fans excited, thinking that they're going to get him, and they miss him.
Yeah.
I mean,
so, Danny, where does Tim Sheens fit into that?
Well, I think it's beyond Tim Sheens. This has been going on for a long time with the Tigers, right? These sort of decisions and getting rid of coaches. And yes, this one probably falls on Tim Sheens in terms of, you know, that he's now the big dog and he's the head guy there. But this has been going on for too long with the Tigers. And it's too disappointing for their fans. I mean, to have coaches either walk out, be sacked, you know, on a regular basis, whilst making questionable signings for a long period of time, I think that, yes, Michael Maguire, you know, he might have run his race at the Tigers, but I think there's some other people at that club now who have run their race as well, particularly after missing Serraldo. Sheens, yes, it puts him under pressure, no doubt. No doubt it puts him under pressure. And he's got to come up with a reasonable coach for the club. But I think the people who have been there for a long time, CEOs, to say that CEOs don't have responsibility in terms of the way the football clubs run is hard to believe. And board, chairs, all of those people, I think that, you know, the coach isn't the only issue there. And it's proven again that the Tigers would come out and declare that Cameron Serraldo is their number one choice and they miss him. And if they're talking Brett Camorley, I don't know how West Tigers fans would feel about that. I mean, does Brett Camorley make a player from a rival club, even just say a Papali'i or a Coruscant who have signed on for next year, are they going, oh, okay, Brett Camorley's going to be our coach. Is that what I want? Mm. I think that this is their next move is a big move, and I'm not bagging Brett Camorley in any sense. I think he's a...
What's the internal PR like with Camorley in the game as a coach?
Well, there's nothing there for us to really look at. Mm. With Serraldo, we're going on a tremendous record as an assistant and some success at a lower level. With Noddy, he's been there or thereabouts in the game, but you're not... What of the other clubs, if every club was looking for a coach right now, how highly would Brett Camorley be on the picking level? I mean, there are other coaches out there right now. The Shane Flanagan's, he's got a better record. Paul Green, he's got a better record. Johnny Morris, he's got a better record. So I just don't understand why they're now saying Brett Camorley necessarily is a man for the job. He might be a fantastic coach down the track, but I think this is a huge job. And I think maybe Noddy would be a fantastic assistant at the club. Mm. But to make him the man responsible is a gamble. And I don't know whether the Tigers are in the position to really be sort of gambling at the moment. They need a little bit of certainty. They need a little bit of stability. They need to make a really good choice. And you would think... there are some better qualified coaches out there, but if they see something in Brett Camorley, good luck to them. I don't know how their fans would feel about it, and I don't know how players at other clubs would feel about it, and I don't know how players are going to try and attract would feel about it.
Well, there's those red flags, isn't it, behind the scenes that would limit a lot of coaches, I reckon, going and taking that role as well. Very quickly, mate, Luke Thompson, a dash home. Just quickly before we go, what happened there?
Yeah. Guys, it's a family issue, and he took off, I think it was last Friday. He's due back on July 8th, and you know, obviously with the Bulldogs rising a little bit now, they'd probably need him back as soon as possible. But they've told him to take his time, and whether he gets back in early July like they're hoping, we'll have to watch and see. But you know, obviously he's got family issues at the moment, and they're far more important and pressing than rugby league, so... Yeah. The Dogs are giving him the time he needs, and hopefully he'll be back in a space of time for them.
Absolutely. Well, Danny, we've got to let you go, but always great to talk all things rugby league. Plenty happening, and we'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, gents.